Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 5th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. I was just thinking 5th and how appropriate it is this morning to say a 5th.
Yeah.
Not that I've imbibed.
Yes, I just don't know what that chuckle was before my name.
Exactly. No, that was it. It was that just was the random thought popping in. It had nothing to do with you. It was just so I didn't.
I'm suspect.
Didn't have double audio there. You're a suspect?
No, I'm
What'd
suspect.
You do now, buddy?
I'm suspect. You lured me in here for some reason or another.
I see. Yes. Keep using all these technical law enforcement phrases with me.
That's right.
All right. Do you want male wardrobe apparel, or would you prefer a law enforcement related?
Well, let's go law enforcement related. Why not?
All right, smart guy.
Let's see.
Why do severe and long and prolonged questioning is referred to as the third degree?
Severe and long questioning.
Yes.
You're talking about interrogation?
Yeah, that might be part of
it. It's called the third degree?
Yeah. Why is it referenced as getting the third degree?
Third degree. Yeah, well, I am not.
Remember, you asked for this.
I know
one,
I did. And so enlighten me today. What is the third degree? All right.
In Freemasonry.
There you go.
The third degree is the highest degree attainable, that of a master mason. For a long time, people believed that in order to qualify for this degree, a mason had to undergo a series of severe proficiency tests. The tests are really quite simple, but because of this belief, the term third degree came to mean any severe interrogation.
All right. Freemasons.
So you're
Thank
not
you.
A Shriner either, huh?
I'm not. That's why I did not pass that test.
No, Grandpa was, I think, 32nd.
Okay.
He got whatever it was. You imagine the excitement when he found out that Dad was Catholic and dating his oldest daughter. Say.
Hey, now.
Yeah, there were a couple of third degree
There you go.
Meetings.
I'm sure.
Oh,
yes.
Gee. Well, you know, you just can't stay out of the news.
Well, I try to, but there's things that come up from time to time that causes me to be out in front of stuff or behind some stuff, definitely.
Yeah. Like behind the shield.
Yes. Yeah, nature of the job.
Well, okay, let's start with the OES.
Sure.
Mean, that's probably the most current one right now because of the determination yesterday.
Right.
That masks on starting on Saturday.
Right.
I had a verbal response, not to be repeated at this moment.
Got it.
Okay. And I'm sure lots of other folks did and have shared perhaps more directly their impressions with you and their concerns. What's the official line on this?
So the official line is that we see the Delta variant, right, going through the entire nation right now. When you look at a map of the nation, you know, we have widespread outbreak of the Delta variant, you know, throughout the United States, and Humboldt County is included with that. And public health has looked at this and seen our escalating numbers and seen our escalated hospitalizations and wanted to do something about this. And the easy thing to do would be to require universal masking indoors and outdoors when you can't socially distance. And so they proposed this to our emergency policy group, gave us the facts behind it. And again, this was one thing that they suggested that we do at this time and then reevaluate in 60 days is the protocol right now. You know, and when you look at the grand scheme of things, this isn't lockdowns. This isn't shutting schools down. This isn't shutting weddings down, that kind of stuff. It's a precautionary measure that people can do right now to try and prevent the spread of COVID-19. Now, yes, there's people on both sides of this. People cursed when they heard this. There's people that are jumping up and down and celebrating.
You did hear me.
Yes. We have both sides. We have people calling our Joint Information Center asking, when are we going to go to masking again? When are we going to do this or that? And so there's people still locked in fear. There's other people that are ready to have this thing over. The fact is that we have to learn to live with COVID because this is not going away. What people really aren't talking about is COVID's going to be here for a while. And
can we
and
call it something else like a virus? I mean, that's,
we can. It is a virus.
We call influenza
absolutely.
A virus, and it's like, yeah, okay, everybody gets, you know, the colds during the wintertime, and
right.
Some don't make it through, but most of us do and carry on.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
That's exactly right. And if you're sick, stay home, right? You're sick, you stay home. You don't spread it to other people. And then, you know, you just continue to do the things that you normally would do, or hopefully would do, which is clean, wash your hands, sanitize, you know, don't cough on people, you know, those kind of things, just to try to be respectful and try to care for everyone else. And at this point in time,
it used to be called manners, I think.
Yeah, manners have probably gone away a little bit, but I think we're learning to be a little bit better now with COVID. So, you know, it's...
But
it's,
there's a hysteria associated with this one that... I don't know if unreasonable is the right term or not. And well, maybe it's because the influenza or the cold, right? I mean, we got cold,
yes.
And we got flu. That the flu didn't take any as many in the last couple of years. So now this might be a little bit more aggressive or just coming in from a different angle and cause some. And the fact that we are monitoring it. Where right. The other, we're not monitoring.
Yes.
So obviously, there's no reference point, and it yeah. sounds like everything's going crazy, and we don't know if it is or not.
Right. So people are dying from COVID, and, you know, COVID is definitely a real thing. But, you know, when someone does die from comorbidities and COVID, it's a COVID-related death. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, we can't calculate who's going to die or whatnot, right? We have the 85-year-old that gets COVID. He's down for 3 weeks, you know. And why didn't this person die? He recovered. And then
comes
we have
back as a 70-year-old. Yeah.
And then we have a 30-year-old that has no apparent symptoms, you know, or no apparent comorbidities, and they pass away from COVID. And so sometimes there's no rhyme or reason, but that's kind of life in general. We can't be predicting, you know, as far as this kind of stuff.
In school, they called it genetics.
Absolutely.
Don't want to flash back on you, man.
Yeah, school?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, you got so much else swirling. Genetics.
Genetics.
You remember RNA and DNA? Yeah, okay.
Yes. This doesn't yeah. change your
I
DNA,
I cannot get
by the
Schauser
way.
Out of my head, even
yes.
40 years later. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. There are a couple of functional definitions, I think. You know, whenever I hear words getting used regularly, too often that were new words.
Yes.
I tend to get kind of concerned because definitions start to change. It's kind of like old growth, right?
Right.
Okay, old growth was redefined a couple years ago. Not as virgin. Right.
Second or third growth?
Yes, exactly. And being used in the same reverence. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait a minute.
Right.
Yeah, there was a stump there 75 years ago or 150 years
yeah.
ago. This is not an old growth.
No.
Okay. Oh. And most of us don't know that change.
Right.
Those on the inside, then it starts getting used regular and we apply the old definition.
Right.
So as we're looking at this situation, hospitalizations. Now, I have not seen how many hospitalizations referenced lately. It's how many positives and if there was a death, but not
right.
hospitalizations. That was the big magic number before. Do we
sure.
have enough beds? Is there a capacity?
Right.
St. Joe's and Mad River were doing their things to expand, didn't need it. How did it? Okay. So now we're having positive tests.
Yes.
And then you just mentioned hospitalizations.
Yes.
Okay. How are those trending? Are those lines running parallel as they have historically, or are they deviating around? What are those doing?
We are seeing hospitalizations probably the highest right now that we've seen in this pandemic. And so at least with St. Joe's, that's what's going on. We have 20-plus hospitalizations right now. That was as of yesterday morning. Not sure what it is today. And the hospitals are working together to kind of shuffle things around to make sure, you know, maybe Mad River's got a little less. Maybe Redwood has a little bit less. So they kind of shuffle around and make sure that St. Joe's has plenty of beds to offer. You know, they haven't shut down like elective surgeries or those kind of things yet. But I think this is all precautionary because when you start looking at epidemiology and potential curves, right? And so you have these people that are getting paid to look at the data and go, okay, if we're here now and we have a positivity rate of this, then we're going to see a spike of, you know, of this number within the next 2 weeks. And so that's kind of stuff.
The county level or is that the state level?
That's at the county level.
So every county is doing that?
County has their own epidemiology that looks at our local numbers and sees where we're at and starts projecting. And so then they give that information to St. Joe's to try and prepare this what your next 2 weeks may look like. Now, this is all speculation. Right, we never
do. Sure, based on human behavior being consistent,
exactly. And we had early projections that we were going to have 300 deaths, by last summer or whatever, and we're going to have this amount of hospitalization. We're going to be overrun by this time, and it never transpired that way. And so,
yeah, it's funny. You can argue both sides, right?
Yeah.
Well, and that's because we did blah 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 blah.
Right.
How do you you can't argue yes or no on that. It's just more of opinion.
Right.
And we still have got lots of people spending lots of time up in the lakes.
Right.
Every weekend.
Right.
Hanging out with their buddies and stuff.
So,
And we got my concern is death was always the big issue.
Yes.
Right.
It should be. That is.
Okay. So how are the death numbers
right.
going, trending? A rolling 3 or 4 month average,
yeah.
A rolling 6 month average. We could do a 12 month average now.
Right.
How is that looking?
So we're experiencing the same amount of deaths, right now, anyway.
Percentage or raw
numbers? Percentage, raw numbers. Yeah, percentage rate right now. It's probably about the same, and so we're not seeing a huge spike in deaths, but people are still dying, from COVID, and
is it moving? The profile of those dying with this,
yeah,
whether it's related or whatever the hyper term is,
right?
Do they tend to have, or are most of them also having other situations? I mean, if you have emphysema,
yes, comorbidities, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
I know that's the phrase that's used. I'm trying not to use that.
Sure. So they have these other illnesses that are likely causing their death anyway, or might be accelerating it a little bit. Yes, help it. Yes, absolutely. So that's when you look at the demographics again, 80-year-old plus, those are the people that were dying from it. We did have that 30-year-old that passed away, and again, that may be that just anomaly that does occur. And, one 30-year-old. But normally what we see as a trend is if you are under, 30 years old, you're likely not to die,
So
from
next
this.
Time you guys have your powwow or whatever it's called, your joint
yes.
meeting thing.
Yes.
Ask what's the rate of influenza and in the demographic profile of influenza deaths that we've had over the last 5 years.
Okay.
And let's see if there's a parallel. I mean, if there is, okay,
right.
then it's just kind of more of the same. If it's different, I would suspect that there's a legal term there.
Gotcha.
Suspect, yeah.
Suspect.
That there might be some information that could be gleaned from it, one way or the other.
Right.
I do think it's the mortality reference that everybody's concerned about. Now,
right.
some folks have complications and certainly not to set that aside or not put priority on those folks. But I fear that we're chasing our tail sometimes.
It can be. I think that can be the appearance. And so we do, flu and the flu outbreak really wasn't existing over the last 2 years, since we've had COVID. And we're not in flu season right now.
Well, you keep everybody away from everybody,
sure.
and everybody runs around with masks
exactly.
on. It's kind of tough.
Clean, sanitize, yeah. don't sneeze on, cough on people. Yeah,
sore throats and allergies are probably down a little bit too.
Right. I don't know about that. It's humble.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. This summer's been kind of pollen heavy, hasn't it? It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Oh, yeah. It's so good that we don't broadcast the breaks.
Not intentionally.
Or this morning. Okay, good. Yeah, Winston's defending himself now, so we're okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so with some of the different challenges that are out there, you got we have all got this going on.
Right. But
there's also the drought and the fires. It was a little surprising earlier this week. We all had a little bit of the white on our rigs, you know, from the wind pattern change.
Yeah.
We don't have it in Humboldt County yet, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything with the fires. But
right.
The drought certainly is around.
Yes, big time.
Is this just recognition of that actuality, or is anything being done formally?
You know what? It's definitely a symbolic statement to say that we're in a drought emergency, and you know the board does have you know some direction as far as you know what they want to do. You know, I mean, there's things that they can put in place, but you know, right now we have a lot of people that are still diverting water out in the hills, and the little
is
water
that a
that's
significant
left,
percentage? I mean, enough to really have an impact, or is it more philosophical for
no,
that?
I think it's definitely a good percentage. We have about 1,000 lawful growing operations in Humboldt County, okay? Now, we had 15,000 at one time. Now that number's a little bit less. A lot of the illegal grows have gone away, but there's still thousands of illegal grows out in the watersheds. We've been working with Fish and Wildlife to identify certain watersheds that, you know, are typically still flowing this year that are completely dried up. And so we've looked at some of those. We've flown
so
over some of those
using
watersheds.
That as a barometer?
Yes. And so we've served search warrants in some of these protected watersheds and found stream diversions and found where people had completely, you know, dried up these diversions to fill their water tanks, you know, and are continuously
growing.
They
don't open that up then?
No, well, I mean, with all of the contaminants that are in the water tanks, they put all the additives and those kind of things. It would not be a smart idea for us just to drain those tanks right.
So it's like a mixing tank.
Yes, it can be as well. So, you know, it's
actually that's kind of smart,
right?
I mean, if you're going to do that, it's kind of like making a casserole.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Okay. All the fertilizers and those kind of things in it. But, you know, we have great partners with the State Water Board, Fish and Wildlife. You know, those guys look in and they can really hammer those property owners and hammer those growers that are diverting the water and stealing the water. You know, but we have a huge issue with people now then transporting water illegally to these grow sites, and it's impossible to enforce. CHP has the opportunity to go and pull over water rigs, you know, throughout the county. They don't have the resources to do that. Our deputy sheriffs right now, we are grossly understaffed. We can't go out there and just randomly stop water trucks to see where they're going and what they're doing.
So it's not the water trucks that are illegal?
The water trucks, you can have a water truck, but putting a straw in the river or creek or, you know, some source and then delivering it to an illegal grow is illegal for that water truck to do.
So an analogy could then be somebody with a pickup truck that's got a load of gravel in the back.
Yeah.
Did they get it from the river bar?
Right.
Or did they get it from the local landscaper?
True. Yeah.
Comparable.
But that's,
okay.
Absolutely. But that's the same kind of concept. But right now, when you look at the Van Dusen, we look at the Eel River, and you look at, you know, the Van Dusen's dry right now. And when it goes into the Eel's suspected to go underground real soon. You know, that's just not good optics here. And,
now, in the old days, we also had these things called floods.
Yes.
That would blow the gravel out, or we had gravel mining going on in the bars. And all that's been frowned upon over the last 20 or 25 years as not being, for whatever reason, something that we want to have. So is it apples to apples or apples to oranges?
Well, we see, I mean, we just know that the numbers are there that relate to the drought, right? This is not just because there's too much gravel on the river bar. So, you know, so that's the drought is definitely real. We see it out there. We're lucky that we have the Ruth Lake that's full for our municipal water supply. That's great. We're lucky in that aspect. There's other areas around the state that their water reservoirs are drying up.
So is it the grows that are the big, I mean, if that's on the list, is that number one on the list?
I would say it's number one on the list right now because these people are up in the watersheds. Marijuana takes so much water to grow, you know, when you have these full-size mature plants, 10 gallons per day, you know, of water. I mean, come on, that's just, and you have hundreds, sometimes thousands of plants. And so it's just, it's a tremendous draw on the system.
Other than the flyovers, how do you kind of have a sense of the plant population?
So we use satellite technology as well. And, you know, we work with, you know, the county does have a contract that we can get close to real-time satellite data. And so we can see what's actually going on out there in our community. We can study those maps. We can then use those maps to do flyovers. We have to actually have eyes on in order to write a search warrant. We can't write search warrants based upon satellite
data. So it's a minimum two trips?
So it's, well,
one out to get it and then to come back, get the...
Yeah, so we see it, then write the search warrant, and then go back out, yes.
How is that different from camp
so
in
camp,
the old days?
Yeah, so camp really focused on the trespass grows on, you know, private property or state property. And that was really the goal of camp, is to get rid of those trespass grows and illegal grows out there in those rural properties.
So now it doesn't matter where the property is. If it's permitted, it's permitted, and if it's not, it's
That's
not.
Right.
And obviously, state parks are not issuing permits for grows.
Right.
Or the National Forest Service and those folks.
Right. Right. They're not. Hopefully.
See, I'm catching on.
Yes.
After 60 years, I'm finally starting to figure this thing out.
60, Brian? Is that it?
Well, you know, Macaulay's older than I am.
I didn't know that. I'll
so
have
you
to
can,
talk.
You can hook. Yes.
I will talk to Bill about that.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:40.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Droughts don't tend to be one-year events, either going in or coming out.
Right.
And I don't know what year we're in on this, because last year we kind of seemed to have, well, you were talking about water diversions. We had mental diversions. So is this the second year, third year, first year? Where are we in the drought and the drought cycle? I mean, is this something that...
We didn't have a very good previous year as far as rain goes, and I'm not sure what the forecast is for this next year, but that's definitely concerning. You know, obviously we've had the wildfire issue. We've been dry, even though the North Coast, you know, we've had our fair share of rain compared to the other parts of the state. We're still way below normal, and the impact that we're seeing now in the fires in Siskiyou County, Shasta, Trinity County, Mendocino, all around us is just it's absolutely just crazy right now.
I think it's tough for a lot of us because we're not traveling as much. Okay, and here we are around the bay, on the coast. We go, yeah, okay, yeah, but if you're in southern Humboldt, you see it.
Yes,
you get east of Blue Lake. you see it. I mean, it's there, but we just don't get there that often. How would you describe what's going on in the level of concerns to the vast majority of us that are, we're on the coast. I mean, we're hitting the beach, but the beach is the ocean beach, not the river beach.
Yeah, so people around the Humboldt Bay area, we don't seem to be too concerned about wildfire. We're getting that great marine layer. But if you're outside of the greater Bay Area, you need to be concerned because the drought impacts are real. They are there. And we do have to start preparing for potential wildfire in the rural parts of the county. Number one, creating that defensible space is invaluable to help save your structures, and making sure that your address is properly labeled, you know, on the street side, because we have a lot of rural properties.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. When you have a fire that says you're off Alder Point Road, and you know, what's the address out there? And people don't put their addresses on the road site because, you know, people want to remain private. I get it, but it makes it impossible when you call 911 and someone's there. Right. Just put the address down there. Also, register for Humboldt Alert. Right now, you know, that's our only way that we can get people out or get the message out for evacuations is with you register on our website. Go to humboldtsheriff.org and then look at Humboldt Alert or just Google Humboldt Alert and you can register. It takes 5 minutes. Your addresses where, you know, you want to be alerted. If you live in Eureka, if you live out in Garberville or Willow Creek, if there's a fire in your neighborhood, we'll be able to send a message to you to say what the direction is, where the fire is, where you need to go, where the safe evacuation routes are. That's very, very important.
Now, I suspect that that's cool until the cell phone towers burn down.
Right. Yes. So landlines do work too, but with everything on digital.
So does this 100-year-old technology around here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult, but that's the only way right now that we can get that message out. So we are working on Zone Haven. Oh,
you're
radio.
Not picking up on me here, dude.
Radio. Always tune into your radio.
Third degree here is about to occur in live time.
But also, yeah, weather radios do work too. But, yes. But yes, that is. We do have KINS Radio that has emergency messaging as well as other radio stations throughout Humboldt County.
How concerned are you that it's going to be something akin to Santa Rosa, Sonoma, where it's a fire and then the winds over the mountaintops are going to be coming in at 40, 50, and it's going to outrun any suppression?
That is always our biggest fear, and we are capable of having that same event here in Humboldt County in some of the different areas. And we definitely do have choke points in some of our communities, especially with our rural areas where it's just one way in, one way out. And so it can create a lot of issues. So that's why you just have to know your roads, know your area, know how to get out of a situation based upon the geography and where potential fire is coming from. So plan ahead. That's the biggest thing. Plan ahead and prepare what you can right now to get out quickly, have a plan, and also get alerted. So,
well, I think folks, if we've been fortunate enough to take commercial airplane, right, or private, you go over southern Humboldt and you look down there and you see the areas that have been logged off and now they're ranching and stuff. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, okay, if there was a spark there, that thing's rolling.
Yes.
It may not take out the redwoods, but it's going to take out everything else. And it can move pretty quick. And you see these ranches, and there's just a turnaround, and that's all she wrote. That's it, and that's it.
So what people have to realize, too, is that the state of California is lacking on resources. So if there's a major fire here now, resources are in Trinity County, Plumas, Butte County.
They're already being used.
They're already being. We have volunteers. We have our local fire resources that are going to be called upon. They're going to get taxed pretty quickly. So the best thing you can do if you see a fire is to, you know, if you can put it out, please put it out ASAP. But call us right away. Call 911. Get us there quickly. And luckily, we still have some air resources here from Cal Fire. They want to send those things really quickly to try and put out fires, but.
Is the Civil Air Patrol still in effect?
It is not.
There's just not enough pilots?
There's just not enough interest right now, and it just hasn't.
That was a great thing for during the floods and stuff and the earthquakes.
Sure. And there's people that definitely have said that they'll do it if necessary, and so that
it's
is
just not
happening.
A formalized group at this point.
And PG&E is flying. PG&E is looking and looking for wildfires right now too.
They're the helicopter guys.
Yep.
We see them pretty regularly here.
Yes.
They're the helicopters that are not orange.
Right.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks, Brian.
Talk to everybody tomorrow.